Pastor Rick. And let me say, we are delighted that you are going through our new members process class, because it means that you are at least interested in finding out more about what it means to be a full member of Glenville New Life Community Church. And as part of the pastoral team, we're just thrilled that you've chosen to make that decision to possibly become a part of us. Now, my first part in this lesson is to help you understand Glenville New Life Community Church, PCUSA, and how exactly the government of the church operates. Now, when you come into church each Sunday morning, you see people of all ages, all colors. You just see God's people at their very best. However, those people that you see on Sunday morning are not all the same. We have them divided into four different groups. The first group is made up of members who have actually joined Glenville New Life Community Church. These are the people who have gone through all the requirements. They've come before the congregation. They've made a confession of faith. They've pledged to join the church, and they are full members of our church. They are eligible to vote. They are eligible to serve as elders and deacons. Everything that is open to members, they are a part of that. Now, the second group of people in our church are called members in process, and you might be one of them. A member in process is a person who's made the decision, I want to join the church, but they still have some requirements that they haven't met yet. They may have not been in worship for three Sundays. They may still need some Bible studies to attend. They may need to complete the new members training, which you are doing at this very time. Now, they are still eligible to serve in various capacities in the life of the church. However, they cannot vote in congregational meetings yet, and they cannot hold the office of elder and deacon. But they can participate in the life of the church in any way, and whatever benefits are extended to members are extended to them while they are in this member in process stage. So just keep that in mind. The third group of people in our church are called our friends. These are people who have attended Glenville New Life Community Church several times, and they support the church on a regular basis. But for one reason or another, they have not yet made that final decision to join our church. Many of our friends, they serve in every capacity in the life of the church except serving as elders and as deacons. Now, if you are a friend, you're not quite entitled to all of the benefits of a member, but depending on how long you've been a friend, most of the benefits that a member receives, a friend will receive as well. Now, friends are not eligible to vote, and they cannot hold the office of elder and deacon. And the fourth group of people you see in our church are called guests or newcomers. These are people who have recently become a part of our church, or they may have visited once or twice, or this may be their first time. They just haven't been here long enough in order to be considered a friend. But we are delighted to have all four groups. We thank God for our members, for our members in process, for our friends, and for our guests and our newcomers. All four groups are important in the life of Glenville New Life Community Church. And we must all remember that each of us has a responsibility to invite other friends and family members so that they too may have the opportunity of one day joining our church and becoming full members. It is every new member's responsibility to try to bring somebody else into the life of the church. Now, you've heard me say our title is Glenville New Life Community Church, PCUSA. Well, what exactly does PCUSA stand for? The initials in our church stands for Presbyterian Church in the United States of America. Now, as a result of being a part of a denomination, we govern ourselves in the Presbyterian form of government. And our form of government is we elect people in order to make decisions for us for 99% of what we are going to vote on. Now, the first part of the governing body in the Presbyterian Church, at the local level, in each Presbyterian congregation, you will have what's called the session. The session is the decision-making body in the local Presbyterian Church. Now, the session can make all kinds of decisions, but it is limited in what it can do by our church's constitution. Now, in addition to knowing about the session, there are also two other books that will help guide us in our understanding of what it is to be Presbyterian. In addition to the Bible, which is our primary guide, the other two books that will help us to understand what it is to be Presbyterian, and they make up our constitution, are the Book of Confession and the Book of Order. Now, the Book of Confession lists a number of creeds which state what we believe about various aspects of our faith. For those of you who are know the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and that goes on. That's one of the things that you would find in our Book of Confession. And there are several other creeds that the church has adopted through the centuries that make up our Book of Confessions. Now, neither book is considered to be anything other than a book. They are not additional Bibles. The Bible is still our supreme authority for what it is that we believe. The Book of Order, however, it gives us rules and regulations for how we carry out the work of the church. And the Book of Order is used most frequently. It is divided into three parts. The first is the form of government, which deals with the church, its members, its structures, its officers, its properties, its ruling body, and its operating procedures. The second part is the rules of discipline. The rules of discipline deals with disciplinary actions within the local church all the way up to the General Assembly. And then we have the third division, which is called the Directory for the Service of God. And it deals with how we go about doing communion, baptisms, marriage, admission to membership, weddings, funerals, evangelism, and service. Now, our denomination is currently in the process of discussing whether to change the Book of Order. So some of the things that I'm teaching you today may be changed in the very near future. Now, let's talk specifically about the session. The session is, as I said, the local governing body in the church. Now, the session at Glenville New Life Community Church is made up of the two co-pastors, the associate pastor, and 12 ruling elders who have been elected by the congregation, plus the clerk of session, who is the person who records the minutes of the meeting and also provides those minutes to our denomination so that they can read and see what we are doing as a local church. Now, the members of the session, together under the leading of the Holy Spirit, make the decisions for most of what's going to take place in the church. Now, we are a representative form of government, and we do take votes on issues. A lot of times at Glenville, though, we will try to reach a consensus rather than simply taking a vote, because we want to see what is the Spirit of God saying to each of us who sit there on session. Now, each person on session has one vote, including the pastors. Each person has one vote. Now, when the congregation elects an elder, they elect a person to serve a 3-year term. So if you're elected elder, you are to serve for 3 years. If at the end of 3 years you are asked to serve again, you may serve an additional 3-year term. However, at the end of that second term of 6 years, you must go off session for at least 1 year. Now, you will still be an elder, because when you're ordained an elder, you are ordained for life, but you will not be on session during that period when you are off of the board itself. There are three classes of elders, which means there are four people that come on and four people that go off each year, so that there is a rotation which allows us to have new people with new ideas and different gifts come and go and make up our leadership team. Now, we take the process of choosing our elders very seriously, and we feel that those who are going to serve as elders and deacons should be held to the highest standards in the life of the church. So what are we looking for when we're looking for elders to serve on session? First of all, we are looking for people who are committed in their giving, which means they are tithers. They give 10% of their income to the Lord. Now, why is money so important? Because Jesus tells us that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. So our finances should be in the kingdom of God, which means our heart, therefore, would be in the kingdom of God. So we're looking for you to be a tither. We also expect our elders to be great learners. So if you're going to be an elder, you need to be involved in Bible study, in life sharing, or in sisters in the Lord, or in spiritual journey. You need to be studying the Word of God and applying it to your life. And not only that, you have to be faithful in your attendance at worship. If you're going to lead the people of God, you need to know how God is leading His people during worship service. And that's the place for you to really minister to people who may come to church with pain in their lives that day. Now, some Presbyterian churches have both elders and trustees. At Glenville, we combine the two groups as one so that our session also functions as our trustee board. So if you're an elder, you're also a trustee as far as the state is concerned. Now, all kinds of issues come before the session in which we have to decide things. And sometimes it's easier to decide things in committees and then bring it to the group as a whole for further discussion. Now, our session functions through committees, and you can choose which committee you're going to want to be a part of, but those elders who have been there the longest get to choose first which committee. We currently have our committees broken up into three sections. First of all, there's the Building and Finance Committee, which deals with all aspects of the building and whatever concerns money or campaigns. That would fall under their control. Then there's the Theology and Education Committee. If there is a special teaching that needs to be done, or if there is a special, we need teachers for a given thing, or if we're going to bring in somebody to speak, to us on a given topic, this would come under Theology and Education. And then we have our Outreach and Missions, which if we want to adopt a new missions program, or we want to support a group, or we want to plan how are we going to go into the neighborhood to reach people for the cause of Christ, this committee, the Outreach and Missions Committee, would handle that. Now, these groups will handle whatever issues come up in the life of the church. In addition to these three main committees, there are two others that are very important. One is the Nominating Committee. The Nominating Committee, two of our elders with four people elected from the congregation and one of our deacons, they will choose people who will be nominated to serve as elders and deacons for the next year. So it's very important that we have the Nominating Committee, and the two people from session are the moderators of that committee. In addition to that, we have a presbytery representative. Each time we have a presbytery meeting, each church is supposed to send its allotted number of elders to the meeting. Currently at Glenville, we have one elder that we send, so we vote and we rotate who this person is going to be for each session, each presbytery meeting. Now, in addition to that, our elders and our deacons are paired together so that one elder and one deacon come together to form what we call a care team. A care team is made up of anywhere from the elder, the deacon, plus 10 to 20 members from the congregation. And that elder and that deacon have a special responsibility to contact